You all know why I'm here, not an order. And I would not try to convince you of the worthiness of our cause, but I'm a soldier. And we are at war.
We seem to never learn. Here we go again. They rallied up the troops. God forgive the sin. Hidden agendas. Can't we fight for truth? No, then there be no need to fight. Love is a fatal. There's no fatalities. Hate supports U.S. principalities. Separation, we all suffer. We need to be in love with each other. This isn't training, actual invading. Depleted uranium is raining. Iraq, just know we don't have Bush's back. With the vicious attack, crossing borders with might. On foot, catching flight. For hypocrisy, I will not fight. The Most High loves I, the word won't die. Even after all the times it's been revised. I've been shot by Charlton Heston. And he even autographed the weapon. The bullet was lodged in my left shin. I asked the doctor, and she kept it in.
The stress is weak for the tension of battle. Ready to make war. To make peace with their God.
Listening to truthlovefreedom.org.
Today's October 16th, 2008. So Real and Judson, this is the Truth Love Freedom Radio Show on the Revere Radio Network. We'll be back right after this. Revere 0 1-877-738-3730. And so we'll be taking calls, talk about whatever you want.
Anything. It's an interesting time in the world. There's a lot to talk about.
There is a lot to talk
and,
about.
You know, probably some crazy opinion you have that you haven't been able to voice. So
yeah.
Call and voice it.
Yeah.
We won't beat you up.
Yeah. Yeah. This last show wasn't apparent.
Yeah, I mean.
We didn't meet that guy up.
No, yeah. No, he was good. It was interesting, different, right?
It was something I had personally not experienced in my life before.
Yeah. So, yeah, feel free to call in. At the end of the show, for the last 30 minutes, we're going to have Rob Revere call in and talk to us about the relaunch that's coming up. We're real excited about it. Got a whole bunch of stuff planned. Actually, I'm spending most of my time and my effort and my brain thoughts.
Your brain thoughts.
My brain thoughts. thinking about, like, what I'm going to do. I'm not even thinking about, like, now and what I'm going to do up until. I'm thinking about what I'm going to do thereafter because I'm going to line up a whole bunch of really good shows, put a lot of stuff out, material and things like that to try to promote it. I'm also going to be doing a 60-day raw food diet. Raw food means anything that you can't eat unless you cook, you can't eat.
Yeah.
And everything that you can cook, or you can't eat when it's not cooked. Guess what? You're eating it not cooked.
Yeah.
So it's totally raw, like literally, like from the earth. Everything: vegetables, fruits, nuts, berries.
Really, about it. I mean, there's not a lot.
It's not a lot. It
pretty
is,
much
man.
Covered the whole diet. I mean, there's a lot of variety in that, but that's pretty much.
Yeah.
It.
You can do a lot of really interesting things too. Like there's one interesting recipe we did with bananas. You take a bunch of bananas, and it's better if they're like ripening. Like, you know, when you start to get bananas that are looking brown and bruised and stuff like that, you don't really want to use them to eat, but they make great ice cream.
Really?
Yeah.
What, you just mush them and freeze them or something?
No, you actually just freeze them the way they are, and then you use this connection. And we have, like, this juicer, and it's, like, instead of having the filter there that filters and allows the juice to pass through, it's actually just a big, like, block thing. And it blocks it, and it's comes smooshing out the part where the pulp usually comes out, right?
Uh-huh.
And it, like, you know, swirls around and everything, and it makes excellent ice cream. I'm not kidding. It's really, really good. You have to try it to believe it. Take it and make sure you peel the banana first. Put it in the freezer, you know, ripe ones. Put them in the freezer. Let them freeze for about 3 or 4 hours. Take them out and run them through a machine like that. Or you can even mush them up with something. And it's good, man. It's pretty good. It actually seems like real banana ice cream. Actually, it has an intense banana flavor. Like, ice cream
because
is
100% milk. Banana.
Exactly. But it's good. I'm not kidding. So anyways, there's a lot of cool things you can do like that. So let me see. What is he talking about? Oh, it's not that. Okay. Anyways, so yeah, I'm going to be doing a 60-day raw food. I'm going to be talking to every show about how much weight I'm losing, my experiences. I'm going to try to devise a plan that's going to allow the cheapest. The thing about raw food is that if you want to eat like everybody else, which means you don't just like literally have a plate there with a bunch of nuts, an avocado, some fruit, some berries, and some raisins or something like that, and eat like that all the time, and you want something more exciting where you actually feel like you're eating something, you need to be more creative. You need to, like, do recipes and stuff like that and use a lot of ingredients and spices and things.
It's a lot of time.
Yeah, but it's a lot of time, a lot of preparation, and it's also a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's more expensive, I think, to eat raw than it is to eat regular food. So I'm trying to figure out and devise a cookbook that I can put online. I want to do it as I'm developing this.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing about me, like, I tried going raw twice and failed twice. And I failed because of the fact that, man, I straight up went bankrupt. I mean, I had a big family. You know, I don't have a big family. I got 2 kids and a wife, you know what I'm saying? So there's 4 of us, and we're all trying to go raw. And, you know, it's expensive. You would be surprised how much, like, sugar, especially when you're doing the transition, because eventually you get to a point where you don't need as much food.
Right.
And there's a whole method behind that, and we'll talk about that when I do an interview with this lady who's a raw foodist. She'll get into all the details of that. But basically what happens is that you go, because when you're making the transition, you get really hungry, and you start trying to fulfill all the cravings that you have for things like dairy and the fatty foods that your body's used to. So you'll start consuming outrageous amounts of food. And everything fatty, nuts, especially almonds, and fruits galore, like we would eat, like I would eat like 4 or 5 bananas a day. And then a couple apples and lots of orange slices. Anything that has sugar. I was just eating and eating and eating. I couldn't get enough. Eventually, your body gets accustomed to it, and you start getting the nutrients that you need, and doesn't feel like it needs as much food because everything that you're eating is packed full of nutrients. And then your body starts adjusting, and it actually gets to a point where, you know, you're only eating like a couple meals a day.
How long does that take?
I think I've heard it takes about 6 or 7 months.
Oh, wow. So you never – did you stick with it that long?
Oh, no. The longest I've done it is a month.
So this is going to be a big thing for me to, like, push it out. And I think the reason I'm doing it is partly because I want to do it and want to lose weight and get healthier and do a lot of detoxing. Mm-hmm. This is a great natural detox way of living. Because basically when you're consuming pure nutrients, and nutrients like that have enzymes already in place. When mm-hmm. you cook your food, it kills the enzymes that help you break down the food in your system. So when you're eating raw food, you're eating the enzymes, and the enzymes are helping break down your food, so your body doesn't have to work as hard to digest. Mm. Especially like meats and stuff like that, which is most people when they eat, they have a meat of some sort in their,
yeah,
in their meal. That takes a lot of work for your system to break down. And so it spends so much time breaking down your food and actually absorbing the nutrients that it packs away the toxins in your body, in your cells, in your fat tissue, and in, you know, your liver and things like that. And it's supposed to actually detox. It's supposed to let them go. They have that process of letting go, but most people never get to experience that. And that's why you have people with so many cancers, like liver cancer, colon cancer, so on. But when you go through this process, your body actually is like, wow, we have time to actually get rid of some of these toxins. And so you go through this massive, massive detox. Mm-hmm. And I went through my – and you go through it in stages. You go through your first detox, which is the first week and a half that you make the transition to raw. 2 months later, you go through another detox. Like 3 months later, you go through another detox.
Dang.
And it just keeps going and going and going. And I've even heard of people going through a detox 2 years.
What does that mean to go through it? What does it look like?
Well, it's different for everybody. For me, a lot of aches and pains. Like, for example, I had a headache for a straight week.
Right.
My throat, the lymph nodes, uh-huh. is one of the places that your body detoxes for uh-huh. some reason. I don't know why. And so my throat swole up, and I could barely talk. I was talking like this.
Yeah.
And it felt like somebody was squeezing my necks. Like, not hard, but enough that it was, like, not comfortable.
Right.
My wife straight up lost her voice for, like, 2 days.
So what's – of the people you know – what's the longest that you've known someone to stick with it?
Oh, right now I have a couple friends, actually. Julie, a good friend of ours, she, I think, has been doing it for a year and a half to 2 years now.
Mm.
And, I mean, we know of one lady who's been doing it for 10 years, 15 yeah. years now. She's like a raw food, you know, chef or something like that, and she wrote numerous books on it. Swears up, and she's been on TV and everything. Uh-huh. I was watching. I'm trying to get an interview with her, actually, because I thought it would be really cool. But yeah, so, you know, the thing about it that's so amazing is, like, everybody that I know that has had any kind of sickness and who went the raw food route basically lost whatever ailment they had. Julie, for example, was a diabetic. She uh-huh. had to take insulin constantly, really bad. And now she's been raw for over a year and a half and hasn't taken insulin since.
Right.
I mean, her body has naturally balanced out, and she thinks she's cured herself. If she even went back to eating junk food,
uh-huh.
she'd probably be all right.
Well, I wouldn't want to experiment with that.
Yeah, I mean, she's not going to.
Yeah.
I think she was 100% raw for a long time, but I think mm-hmm. now she's about 75% raw. In other words, a couple meals a week, you'll actually eat cooked food and
right.
stay out and maybe drink a beer or something. I don't think you can do something like that.
The only thing about this diet is I have not seen much
mm-hmm.
On it that didn't seem like it was from professional people who had any reason to know what they were talking about. That sounds kind of harsh, but some of the books that I've like looked through or whatever, they'll quote the most crackpotty people. Like I read mm-hmm. through this one book, and it was quoting like Edgar Cayce for proof of that, you know, for something to bolster some claim that they made.
Right.
And it's like that doesn't give me a lot of confidence.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. It depends on what claims they're making.
And, right.
I mean, just like this, like in a conspiracy world, you have all these people who are using the same bits of actual factual evidence, things that can be proven.
Mm-hmm.
Like Zbigniew Brzezinski's book, right?
Right.
And then when they get into motives or, you know, people bring in a whole bunch of crackpot shit that they try to prove whatever it is they believe. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't make mm-hmm. the facts any different. It just means that, you know, and I don't know what the situation is with raw food. I have heard some things about raw food that I just kind of laugh at, but you know, there's people who literally live the raw food lifestyle,
right?
Like it's a church, like a religion.
Yeah.
And
but I mean,
you know, I'm not that way.
People that are that into something, you can't, there's such a small number of those people that you can't point at them and say, look how well they're doing, and say that it's just because of the raw food and not because of their basic fanaticism. I mean,
that's
people
true.
Are fanatics about all sorts of things, and I'm really not meaning to be down on the idea,
mm-hmm.
but
oh, come on, Justin.
Well, I'm not doing it at this point in my life.
Right.
But, and I don't know enough about it to say, I think it's not you know, all it's cracked up to be or whatever. I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Right. On a common sense level, it's healthy. I mean, what's wrong with eating healthy?
Yeah.
It's totally healthy in the extreme.
Yeah. Well, okay. Funny observation.
Right.
Talking about the detoxing, and the person who you've personally known who's gone on this diet the longest is approaching the 2-year point, like 1.5 to 2 years.
Right.
So I hear what you're calling these detox phases, mm-hmm. and like that's definitely possibly what it is, but it seems like you have these bouts of this awful like pain and suffering in the middle of this diet. You've never known anyone to stay on it longer than the amount of time that these things happen regularly.
Right.
Like, how do you know that that's not a side effect of the style of eating?
A side effect of the style of eating?
Mm-hmm. Or things that you're not, maybe things that you're not getting or something. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying.
It's not really possible, honestly. I'm just thinking about it in terms, like, the only thing I can think of is protein, for example, but
right.
people who eat raw, you consume outrageous amounts of nuts, you need to, because you need to keep that body fat coming in and stuff like that, and trust me, it's one of the main, there's like these foods that are the staples,
right?
And avocados are staple of the raw food diet. You can't literally go raw without eating them. It's just impossible to do. Nuts, like almonds.
So that's interesting because it's such like a kind of back to nature sounding diet. But it's interesting because avocados are not something available everywhere to all people at all times, except for with kind of modern forms of farming and whatever else that really aren't natural.
Right. Common sense wise, like there's some people who actually believe that. Like, you know, there's a Christian version of it which believes that this is how they were eating in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Okay, well, I can't argue with that because I've never been to the Garden of Eden.
I haven't been there yet.
There could have been one tree with every fruit and vegetable known to man. Who knows?
A raw tree.
But then there's the hippie types who do the raw thing, and they just basically say, when we were a more primitive species, we used to go around eating like this. Well, perhaps that's true. I would definitely believe the vegetables, because there's tons of vegetables that are edible.
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere. You're walking past them all the time.
Yeah.
However, like things like nuts and berries and fruits, I mean, there was groves. You'd come into an apple grove. But it's not like there would be an apple, a bunch of berry trees and a freaking orange tree all next to each other.
Next to avocados.
Yeah, and that's why they hunted meat, because that was the most readily available food, because there's animals everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
Probably one of the more efficient, given the limitations of the time.
Right. So, you know, I don't buy into that. That's how people used to eat. I buy into the idea that, you know, it's just healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, nutrients. You're consuming nutrients. I mean, I look at how people eat on a day-to-day basis based upon just the shit that they get from the store.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's just crap in that food. Yeah. I mean, most every drink that you get nowadays, whether it be juice or not, is full of high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, it's like the first or second ingredient
it's
after
like drinking,
water.
It's drinking syrup, sugar syrup. That's all it is. High fructose corn syrup is sugar syrup.
Yeah.
You know, especially when you see that you look in your juice and it says 13% juice. Now, I actually saw one that said 6% juice. 6% juice.
There's a lemonade at a lot of the fast food restaurants, and it says contains 0% juice.
That's great.
It's like the Minute Maid, the yellow lemonade, the one that you'd think looks the most natural, and it's actually the pink lemonade that actually contains some juice.
Right. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff. The food that people are consuming on a daily day-to-day basis, like I can guarantee I'm going to be eating so much healthier than that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I think that, like, okay, side effects. I mean, people eat like that on a day-to-day basis. Not to say that there isn't side effects, because there's a lot of ailments in the world today. But there certainly is going to be, I mean, if there is a side effect, I'd imagine when you're comparing it to the other ways you could eat, other types of diets. I mean, the only thing that's different about the raw food diet, I mean, you're still eating the same things as number one. You're not cooking the nutrients out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything is the same ingredients that's cookable, except for you're not cooking it. So that's not like a bad thing. It's not like you had to cook your food.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then on the other aspect, there's only so many foods that you can't eat, mostly animal products. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You can't eat meat. You can't eat dairy.
You couldn't
eggs.
You couldn't make certain things that are vegetarian, like a coffee, because it's too hot, probably. Or is there a cold way to brew it and then just kind of...
You know, I don't know, because I'm not that hardcore. I'm drinking hot coffee.
Right.
And I'm not drinking coffee, honestly, through the 60 days, because it's going to be really hard. I heard that if you have a coffee once every couple of weeks, but if you get to where you're drinking it regularly, it'll destroy you. Raw food and drinking coffee does not mix.
Right.
Your body will be at war with itself. and, you know, things like that. Like, I'm going to miss drinking beer, so I have to drink beer every once. I'm going to have to make sure I just do it on certain days. But during the 60 days, I'm trying to go 100%.
You're trying to go
100%. But I'm giving myself 25% grace.
That's nice. That is good.
Yeah.
Hey, 75% raw would be it's difficult.
Now, the cool thing about it is almost everybody I know who's gone on this diet has lost tremendous amounts of weight and weight in short period of time.
Now, that I can attest to. I've known a couple of people myself and seen that happen.
Yeah, so I'll keep you updated on how I'm feeling, what I'm experiencing. I'm going to do some interviews with some people about raw food and what they're, you know, you're going to hear some different beliefs about it. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be painful for me, but interesting for you if you're a listener.
It's always fun to listen to other people's pain.
Yeah. Suffering is definitely a staple of entertainment. Anyways, so what's been going on with you? What's anything new going on? Watching news at all?
Oh, gosh. I watched the debate last night. Some of it.
Yeah,
you know, it was nothing special in any way at all. As the person I work with said, it probably correctly, there is not one person who listened who probably changed their mind. I'd say it's possible. It's possible someone might have changed their mind.
Yeah.
But,
I was watching the one before that, and Obama was trying to make it sound without actually committing that he's going to get the people out of Iraq. And it was funny because he never said that. The words have never come out of his mouth that he's bringing the troops out of Iraq. But McCain kept accusing him of trying to bring the troops out of Iraq.
Well, McCain,
and he didn't say no, that's not true.
McCain kind of doesn't listen, I don't think. And I'm sorry for any of you guys listening or voting for McCain. I think he's an idiot. So
I really doubt anybody listening to this station is voting for McCain.
Doubt it too, but on the off chance that someone's mom is in the room while someone else is listening to this, McCain's an idiot. I'm sorry. It's just the fact. And McCain, it's like he's got his talking points or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all politicians do, but his manner of delivering them, him and Sarah Palin both, it's like all they do is steer any conversation into the talking points. And one of McCain's talking points that last debate, not the previous one but the one before, was like that he was a cut and run kind of, you know, gonna wave a white flag of surrender in Iraq. That point kept coming back up, and it's like, not really
surrender, you know?
And then like Obama would, in my opinion, would say something slightly rational or slightly reasonable at least in response to that, and then McCain would go back to the cut and run, you know. Mm-hmm. Defeatocrats, or whatever they call, whatever stupid buzzy word they have for it. But as anyone who's been listening knows, I vary in my political ideas, but I've been tending towards Obama, which probably is unlike most anyone also listening to this show, mm-hmm. I would imagine. I tend, of the two, to like Obama better, and I don't feel at this point...
Please, God, tell me you're not voting for him.
Well, I don't know. I don't feel at this point like it's a lesser of two evils, which is how I would have felt before. I actually like the guy, and I like what he says for the most part. I don't agree with every like decision that he's ever made, but I like the guy.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, man. Sorry, everyone listening. If Obama wins California by one vote, it might have been mine.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, sure. Anyways, yeah.
But I'm not that far down the rabbit hole. You know, like, there's a lot of things I'm sure I don't know. And
it's going to be interesting to see where you are from now.
Well, I have my own, you know, set of priorities and beliefs. And, like, no matter what, I don't think... There's not a chance anyone other than Obama or McCain is going to get into office. It's not like, you know, Ron Paul's going to make it or someone, obviously. I mean, and I'm personally not libertarian, but, you know, some third-party candidate's not going to make it.
Do you really believe that voting for Obama is going to make a difference?
I personally do.
Really?
I do.
What difference do you think it's going to make?
I do. I honestly think that the country will be run a lot better under Obama and... You know, depending on how things shake out in the legislative and you know, the Senate and the House, I think it's possible. I honestly, because you'd probably accuse me of being a socialist. Like a lot of times politically, I can lean towards having a sympathy with something that looks more like a democratic socialism type of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I look at something like health. Okay, healthcare is an example.
Right.
And I see that certain diseases can be cured for insanely huge amounts of money, mm-hmm. but without the money, certain people just die. And I can't understand how that's allowed. I look at something
give
like...
Give me an instance, because I don't know anything that... I mean, a lot of money like that has solved like other diseases in the past have come from donors and not from the government.
Yeah, but I personally, so. If you've got one... If, I just don't understand, like, okay, hunger, homelessness, like, all this kind of stuff. I don't understand how in our culture, in our country, how we can just allow those things to happen personally. I understand that this sounds really naive and that probably anyone listening is probably, like, really irritated at hearing it. I totally understand that, and I'm always open to hearing, you know, other points of view or whatever, but I don't know, like, you've got people who are sick and not going to the doctor because they can't really afford it, okay? And
right,
because they don't have insurance, because they can't afford insurance, and there's nothing really free, and so people are just sick, and they stay sick for, you know, long periods of time, when the technology is there to, you know, make them better. The possibility of them getting better is absolutely positively there. It's just that you have to have money,
right,
to make it happen. And so
And who do you blame that on?
Honestly, I think I tend to blame it on capitalism in general.
And doctors just wanting more money for their services?
No, not doctors wanting more money for their services necessarily by itself. I think there's probably a lot of, like, from what I understand, which isn't a lot, there's probably a lot of inflation of the cost that has to do with different insurances and, the pharmaceuticals kind of are like a... They charge huge amounts of money, and they spend huge amounts of money in developing certain things. Like, I understand that.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I can't prove it right now. I have to go through, like, the statistics. But as far as I'm aware, the thing that is driving up the costs of doctor's bills and stuff like that and medical treatment is the fact that it's socialized. When you socialize... you know, the government starts getting involved with it, prices start going up.
Yeah, and that's just how I've heard that argument, and it doesn't ring true to me, which doesn't make it false.
Right.
But when I imagine, like, a completely free kind of, like, libertarian model, I just imagine, like, a couple people who made it well, if they happen to be good-natured, then they'll spread that and other people will live too. But if they don't happen to be good-natured, which they probably aren't if they made it in such a cutthroat type of society, then everyone else is pretty much going to die. Or be, you know, like, it's going to just be most people at the very bottom. That's, like, that's my take on it when I imagine something like, you know, like a libertarian world actually happening.
Yeah. Interesting. So what do you think about, you would think that he's my co-host. I should know more than I do about it. But I thought that it would be cool because he's, you know, open-minded to talk about stuff like this. And
yeah.
I like the fact that, and I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted you to be, you know, co-host on the show is because you're different. I'm tired of talking to the choir here, you know, and I want a person who's going to sit there and go, I don't think that's true or whatever, because it keeps things balanced and it makes them interesting. You know, you always get different perspectives.
Yeah.
What is your position on immigration? Illegal immigration.
Well, I think it's a stupid concept in some way, at least with, it's hard to understand what the real issue is. I think politically in the last, like, let's say 8 years, 6 years, maybe even just 4 years, I don't know, but how it's kind of fallen off the radar as a big topic. But when it is a big topic, it's just a way of polarizing and mobilizing people based on fear, is what I think, and basically racism, more or less. I don't understand the point of a border in some sense.
Oh, you just walked into hell,
I know,
bro.
I know. I said in some sense I don't. I don't understand the point of a border. I obviously don't know the full ramifications of something like that, and I'm sure I could get schooled in it by any number of people. But
the thing about just the fact that, you know, in the South people view the world a different way than people on the West Coast, and you wouldn't want somebody who has absolutely no idea what it's like to live in California deciding how you should live out of Tennessee, for example. Doesn't make any sense. Why would he be able to legislate things based on his perceptions of how it is when he's not even here?
Are you saying, like, imagining not even having states' borders? Is that what you're talking about? Well, I'm not sure.
I'm talking, borders in general. I mean, borders, whether it be state borders. I mean, because in reality, the states are, in some degree, a separate government.
Right.
And they're supposed to be.
Well, I'm
United
fine.
States. A state is, regardless of the size, is a state.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with breaking down governments into smaller and smaller chunks so that, like, you can actually have some oversight and control over it. I just don't understand, like, keeping people out of the country.
Right.
That's all I'm saying. I don't understand why that is such an important thing for people to. And usually the arguments I hear have to do with, they, it uses the word they a lot, and has to do with language and culture changing. That's usually what I hear.
Yeah, I don't think that's so much of an issue for me.
I would believe it's not for you.
Yeah, I think that people who are looking at the culture and in disagreement with it can always move to someplace where that culture doesn't exist.
Yeah, but their fear is that they can't.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, they say American language is English or whatever, which it happens to be right now, but there's no reason for it other than that it is.
Right.
It just is. Like, it could easily be Chinese, Spanish,
right.
Portuguese, whatever. Not easily.
It's just a matter of a decision, but...
Well, it's not really a decision because it's not like it's legislated as the official language.
Right.
Or anything like that. I mean, that's the language everyone does business in, definitely. The right. language government does business
Most
in.
Most of the world speaks it.
Yeah, totally. And that's
Even
cool.
Even people with other languages
I personally think, like, I love the English language. I was an English major. I totally think the English language is awesome and super able to express a whole lot of stuff that maybe other languages, some other languages can't, or in ways that other languages can't, of course. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally cool with the language. But
right.
I'm not afraid of another
assimilating
language.
To a different culture.
I don't think so. I don't know. It depends on what that means.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I understand what you're saying about assimilation and things like that, people who don't like the culture and whatnot, but I think that there's serious ramifications in terms of politics, in terms of economics, and I think those are the things that people are concerned about the most.
Yeah, but
I mean, for example, we're talking about, you know, the cost of going to a hospital. Well, right now, as it is, the Democrats mm-hmm. have passed legislation to force the different hospitals throughout the country, federal law, to treat people from other countries.
Right.
And as soon as they go across their border, they have no control over that. They cannot collect that money.
Mm-hmm. So I understand that, but it seems like...
That's millions and millions of dollars every year.
And I understand that, and money's important, and I understand that our way of living would completely fall apart mm-hmm. if there wasn't any. Mm-hmm. But it's hard for me to understand the opposite position, which is, here's some sick or hurting people. I'm not going to treat them because they're from another country. Because they might skip out on their bill.
Right. But people have said that. Like, okay, well, we understand the reality. We don't want them to just die or get sick and die.
Mm-hmm.
We want to treat them.
Plus,
government forces them to go through with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been people who have sat in the hospital for months and months and months and months. And, I mean, how about we do this? We get them stabilized and ship their ass back to Mexico and let Mexican hospitals take care of them. But Mexican hospitals won't take care of
them. But I want to know this.
But that's just it. Why do they, you know what I'm saying? That they need to make the changes in their country necessary. We can't. You know, I don't look at America as a Superman, like, to go around the world and saving other countries.
No, I don't see that. No, you know, I don't either.
I think that by setting a good example, like, we, you know, a lot of people died in order for us to have the freedoms and have the kind of country we have. Mm-hmm. So what they need to do is the same thing. They need to establish the same type of country. And, you know, we can't just keep giving and giving and giving.
Well,
people take and take and take.
Let me say this about that. Mm. How do you determine that the guy in the emergency room is a Mexican citizen without some kind of national ID card or database to check it against?
Well, I found this out recently. One way is that in order for a person to become an American citizen, they have to learn a certain degree of English.
Right.
And if they can't speak English, they didn't get their citizenship.
What if they can't speak English, but they were a citizen? What if they were born in America?
Now, that is true.
And learned Spanish, you know?
That is something I have thought about, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often, but it does happen. I know I've known a few people.
I've seen it
actually
happen.
My cousins, they're half white, half Mexican,
mm-hmm.
And they went to a school which was almost fully Mexican, with exception to just a handful of white people.
Yeah,
and of the entire school and their class, much less. And they didn't speak Spanish; they only spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
Their teacher was teaching in Spanish.
Yeah, I knew a couple of people I worked with who were kind of first generation, their parents immigrated kind of in the 80s pre-Reagan amnesty. So their parents were here legally, mm-hmm. but they came in illegally. And these people were first generation born in America, but very connected to kind of Mexican culture. And this is Southern California that I lived in at the time. And when one of the girls I knew was getting married and talking about having kids, one of the things she was really not sure about was what language she was going to raise her kid in. Like, she was honestly... And part of me says, well, that's awful. I mean, how can you not teach your kid at least the language of the culture that you're in so they can just get along in life?
Right.
Right? Like, I can understand teaching both. But the fact that I knew this person who, you know, seemed like a reasonable, upright, normal person, fully American and everything.
Right.
And this was what she was wondering about. And if this is a free country, obviously, anyway, I could raise my kid to speak Italian, and I could only speak Italian in my house, and you know, and then if they end up visiting the doctor's office or the hospital. You know, the fact is, Italian's not a language that's going to be discriminated against anyway.
Right.
No one's going to say, oh, there's an Italian. We've got so many Italians ruining our...
You know, from the East Coast, maybe.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Especially down back in the 60s, but...
Yeah. No, the Italian was probably a bad 30s, example. You know? It was probably a bad example, but... Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I don't see how without really opening the Big Brother door, how you are able to enforce a law, or how you're able to say, You can choose not to treat non-citizens. Like, okay, how am I going to establish that?
Right. Well, I think that my opinion on the matter is that it wouldn't be such an issue if other things were aligned. Like, for example, if our economy was much better than it is, you know, if we weren't shipping tons of labor jobs overseas and making actually having competition, like... You know, like, you know, I own a housekeeping business, and people's perceptions of housekeeping, they automatically assume, and several times this has happened, several times they've actually assumed that everybody working for me is Mexican.
Yeah, I worked for you.
And doesn't speak English.
Yeah, I worked for you.
I only had, like, two Mexicans work for me. One of them is totally legal, one is questionable, but she had her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she couldn't speak, well, the first one couldn't speak very good English, and it didn't go very well. But out of how many people, I've had over 30 people clean houses for me at this point, and... Almost, like, only three people were even Mexican.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And people say, well, these are the jobs that white people don't want.
Yeah,
that's a bunch of crap. They're the jobs that white people can't get because they're not willing to work for that cheap. They have to live up to a certain expectation. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, you know, and the sad part is it gets to a point where, you know, Mexicans can't get welfare for the most part if they're illegal.
Right.
So, to be
in the system.
So, I mean, for you know, social benefits, you know, it's actually easier to get those and you can actually make more living off the government and have a better living off the government than actually working. If you're competing against illegals.
Right.
Because they get paid so little and they're willing to work.
But a lot of people who are illegal and getting paid are getting paid what amounts to illegal wages.
Right, exactly.
Which a lot of people listening probably aren't for something like a minimum or a living wage.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would assume. Which, I mean, I don't know.
Granted, if I hired a bunch of Mexican people that were illegal, I'd be getting a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more.
If you paid them less.
Right, because if I paid less, I wouldn't be able to keep the white people that we have.
Right.
Because they're all white, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? I could totally hire illegals, and they would totally take the job, and they would do it for less money. However, you know, and I'd make a lot more money.
Yeah.
So, but that's my point, is that because they're competing with us, we're losing jobs to them. But it's actually, the government has actually set it up to where it makes more sense to be on welfare at that point anyways. And they can't get it. So, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it's a funny situation. It's all been because of socialization and because of the reality of the borders and stuff like that. That's what's made it that way.
It's possible. I mean, I see, you know, it a different way. Hearing what you just said, I see that if someone's going to live better on government welfare than they're going to live on a minimum wage job, perhaps the minimum wage is archaically low.
right.
And there's another side to it.
Well, they have to work. You can't just not work. Let me rephrase that.
Okay.
Well, in California, I don't know what the laws are throughout the rest of the country, but in California, you have to do so many hours. But you don't have to do that many to keep your benefits.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but the funny thing is, if you get over a certain amount, and it's pretty freaking low, okay, if you get over a certain amount, they take your benefits away from you.
Right.
So that's why, because there's like this gap. There's this little zone, I guess, if you get into that, by being in that zone, you're not making enough to live, but you're making too much to gain with social benefits. Mm-hmm. So it pays for you to work less or work for less money. Mm-hmm. At that point, many of them are just working for benefits alone.
Right.
They don't care what job they have. They don't care how little it pays, because most of the stuff, you got Section 9 housing, they're paying for your house. You got food stamps coming every couple of weeks. You have there's medical care,
mm-hmm.
dental, You have, you know, they have all, they basically supply your basic necessities.
Yeah, your basic necessities. It's not exactly.
And then if you can work under the table and make some money, you know, that's just.
But then you're coming into a question of that's. I mean, that's technically breaking the law. So
right.
Yeah, I mean, that's criminals can do all sorts of things. I mean, right. if you're going to argue the way lifestyle is and include criminal behavior, well, I mean, I could sell cocaine and make a lot of money too. You know.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but that's. I don't think it's that criminal. I mean,
I understand.
That's like it's as criminal, I think, as speeding.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
So,
I mean, I've worked under the table before. I'm not trying to be high and mighty. I'm just saying when you throw into the equation an illegal activity,
right.
then I think it changes the equation somewhat.
Right.
But I definitely do not equate selling cocaine with working under the table. If only because I've never sold cocaine, but I have worked under the table.
Yeah. So anyways. But yeah, you know, like, and it's an interesting topic. You know, the main thing that I find the most interesting, actually, it drives me nuts because it's just so ignorant, is this like group of Hispanics that are actually trying to claim at this point that California is Mexico.
Right.
Like, they're basically taking back their country. Mm-hmm. What? You know, like, that's ridiculous. They're taking back their country. Like, you know, like, I mean, Mexico wasn't just, you know, one united, you know, race. There was the
right.
Aztecs and the Mayans and the, you know what I'm saying? There's all these different
yeah,
groups.
Different,
and
indigenous
and, yeah,
tribes.
Yeah, indigenous and tribes and whatnot. And then they're speaking a language. They're talking about English not being their native language. Spanish isn't. That's Spain. Spanish.
Yeah, that's
you know,
very
Spain
true.
Came over here and then they assimilated to their culture. It's a big ridiculous mess. This whole conflict.
Although you'd have to admit that the history behind the Spanish culture in Central and Southern America has a lot more behind it than the history of English speaking culture in California. As far as
that's true.
You know, I mean, how far back do you go? We're all from the same culture originally, no matter how you look at it. If you go far back enough. But I understand. I don't agree. The weird thing is, like, my take on this, we happen to be... The borders that are drawn right now are the borders that are drawn right now. And some of them, most of them, at one point or another, were ill-gotten.
Right.
And someone was treated amazingly unfairly. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I mean, how far back do you go? Okay, do you go back to what they were 300 years ago? Do you go 600 years
ago? That's the exact argument you hear for people who are globalists.
Mm. I can understand that, but my point to that argument is not to then declare everything one world. I would kind of just tend to say, well, it sort of is what it is.
Right.
And what can you do about it? Of course, I'm in a favored state right now.
Have you seen that movie, Zeitgeist Addendum?
No.
Second part. Have you seen Zeitgeist 1?
I don't remember.
Okay. I'm going to have to let you watch that. And then number 2. Number 2 just recently came out. And
hey, I got... Don't tell anyone, but my coworker is going to be on vacation for the next couple days. Not tomorrow, but Monday and Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and maybe even Wednesday. And so if it's on YouTube...
Oh, it is.
I can watch it.
It's on Google Video, I think, actually.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I'll send you a link.
Yeah, I'll watch stuff.
And then we'll see what you think about it next week.
Yeah, but, I'll watch stuff.
Man, that is a topic. I'm trying so hard to get an interview with this guy. He totally agreed to do it with me, and then he backed out.
Why?
And I think it's because he may have went to my website and saw what I'm about, which is pretty much not completely the opposite. We talk about some of the same stuff, but he's questionable.
Yeah.
Very, very, very questionable.
Only took a small slice of the website, it depends on what slice he took. It could have looked like you're not talking about the same thing at all.
I have a feeling you probably listened to a podcast, maybe. I don't know.
Mm.
But all I know is that, like, I mean, it doesn't take long searching through the website to come figure out what I'm about.
Right.
And it's pretty much, like, he uses the same information. It's really interesting, though. He leaves out certain bits of information conveniently.
Right.
And it all to prove his viewpoint, which is almost exactly the viewpoint of the people I think that are running the world and what I'm against, which is globalization to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
The new world order is the new economic order, or the new type of currency, world currency that's going to exist, a new kind of system.
Mm-hmm.
And he promotes the exact same religious concepts and everything. I mean, everything. Part one of the first Zeitgeist movie. He goes through religion and starts comparing all the different world religions, saying that they're all from the same source, basically.
Right.
And he even uses quotes from Freemasons, from New Agers.
No, that's interesting.
And then he goes into the Federal Reserve, and then he goes, 9/11 and Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and talks about the New World Order. But he talks about the New World Order as like it's absent of this religious system. And it's like, no, it's not. I mean, anybody who does half-assed research could figure that out, that there's a religious connection to it, and it's exactly the religion type religious ideas that he was promoting.
Mm-hmm.
It's baffling. So I would really like to get an interview with the guy. But
yeah, that'd be awesome.
Honestly, I think a lot of people do want to get an interview with him, and I don't think he's going to.
Yeah, well,
so he said yes, but I don't think it'll ever happen. I've sent him like 10 emails at this point.
He's ignoring me.
Yeah, maybe if I make enough fuss, I'm actually going to put out a rebuttal video to that guy's.
Nice,
both of them now.
When did the second one come out?
Last week.
Oh, okay.
I think it was last week.
Well, then I can be forgiven for not having seen it.
Yeah, yeah, it's. Yeah, you'll hear about it eventually. It's really interesting. I mean, I hear he has a lot of good, valid points in there, and then he has a lot of stuff that I'm just like, eh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm also going to try to get an interview here pretty soon with the guy, another host on Revere, Chris White, because he did a whole rebuttal on Zeitgeist.
Oh, well, that'd be cool.
And actually offers money as a challenge to anybody who can prove the Zeitgeist. He calls it the Zeitgeist Challenge to prove it and whatever.
Wait, so, to prove what?
To prove the religious points of the Zeitgeist movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that is kind of
says, a, he said they use sources that are just
yeah, it's
very
kind
questionable.
Of, those kind of like deconstructions of religion and trying to prove that they all come from one thing. It's kind of a yawn fest. I've heard that so many millions of times, and it's like it's been out there so many times that they now just sort of quote each other, and they don't feel
exactly.
The need to even go back any farther than maybe like 100 years at the most.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, maybe a couple, but. It's so ridiculous. It's like that's the ultimate example of someone having
right.
The conclusion in their mind and then going about proving it.
There is a lot of interesting connections to things. You know what I'm saying? Like if you were to look at it from that viewpoint and you weren't to do any research or be in any way critical of the idea, it's easy to go, okay, that makes sense. Oh, that's where that word comes from. Oh, now it makes sense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're making all the connections, and there are a lot of very suspicious connections. One of the ones that have always baffled me, and it's why I don't like, I don't like angels. They give me the creeps. And people always used to give us, like, stuff with angels on it, you know? It's, like, part of our culture, you know, the angel on the tree. Like, no.
Right.
No. I don't like angels. But, you know, Egypt. You have the winged, you know, creatures of various sorts. There's different ones, but a lot of them have wings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look back into Babylon, you look into Medo-Persia,
mm-hmm.
And then you look into Christianity and Rome and Greece, and there's always these mythological winged creatures. Mm-hmm. And where in the Bible does it talk about a winged creature?
Yeah. A little tiny bit, possibly.
Yeah.
Very possibly.
You know, they talk about the cherubim.
Yeah, but I would say that's pretty vague, and you couldn't draw kind of the modern idea of an angel based on
right.
just the Bible.
A human with wings in general just sounds creepy to me.
Actually, it's an effeminate-looking strong male guy with blonde hair and wings is what it tends to be now. That's what it's turned into.
Like the Hitler's perfect race.
It's Hitler with wings. So. Everyone who's got angel stuff in their house, draw a little Hitler mustache on it.
No, I just don't. They give me the creeps, man.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
I'm
so,
with that.
I just my wife likes them, and I just...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That happens. Fortunately, my wife does not. We agree on that. In fact, we hope that we never have to have a Precious Moments piece of artwork in our home.
There you go.
Though someone did give us a Thomas Kincaid, and...
Yeah.
That's touchy, because it was a close relative. We don't know what to do with that. We're thinking of getting rid of it and saying that someone came and it just touched their heart so much that we gave it to them.
Nice. I don't think that's going to work, though.
No, it's not.
I think they'll still be offended.
They will.
Oh, it didn't touch your heart?
No.
Man. So, yeah, I'm the angel thing. But, you know, the whole Zeitgeist movie is definitely a very... Well, let me just be straight up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be straight up. I don't like it. I don't like the movie. I don't like it the way it was expressed. I don't like the points. Most of the information, I think, is either, you know, false or questionable.
And so if I'm understanding...
Except for the Federal Reserve part, to an extent, although there's a lot of assumptions drawn, like, you know, why they did it. Like, they just want power and control. I don't think that's the motivation at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why there's so many people who can be on board with this agenda, is because people don't understand what the agenda really is. It's not... You know, I mean, a lot of it is... boogeyman, you know, like everybody is trying to create boogeyman out of these guys. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes, I mean, yeah, you can say that there's an essence of greed there. I mean, hey, they're driving around in limos and they are eating the best food and all this stuff. And I think there's definitely, you know, that would get to some people. And there's a lot of greed in this world. I don't think that the people who are broke and pissed off at those guys are any less greedy.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're just not rich.
Yeah,
and so they can be pissed off on those who are rich.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously smarter than the average person. And that's why they can have such control and they can do the things that they do. If you were as smart as they were, you'd have a lot of money too. It's just kind of how it goes, you know? But I think that the motivation behind them, though I think it is sinister, I don't think that it's only that.
It's only money and power.
Yeah, it's only money and power. That's what, when you get down to the whys, you know, it's either, you hear like the Jews and then you know, the Zionist agenda you hear about, but you know, most people believe it's money and power that people want. And I just don't.
It's hard to believe that when you see someone who is at the end of their life and they're still living by that kind of same philosophy when money and power is no longer going, or they're maybe setting up something that will be beneficial
mm-hmm.
in the future
mm-hmm.
past their life. It's beyond money and power at that point.
Right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. When there's an agenda and it's and several people have died pursuing it and still continuing forward all the way to their death.
Yeah.
And then handed it down to the next generation to pursue it.
Yeah, money and power is not. Money and power is not the motivation at that point.
I mean,
it can't be.
You know, it's arguable what happens after you die, but
right,
I guarantee it ain't gonna involve anything that's happening here on Earth. I mean, you're not gonna carry your money with you into the grave. So, and the power is you know, people are going to forget you ever existed.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying? So the power, it can't be that. It has to be something more. It's an ideology, a philosophy, something.
Yeah. But now, if I'm understanding this zeitgeist thing correctly, are you saying that some of the stuff that I'm saying I would see
you
in this documentary?
Do, okay. Yeah. Like what we talked about today, I think that in the zeitgeist addendum, you would see a connection to what you're saying.
Right. So you're hoping I'll watch it and I'll basically see that that's the case and then either realize that the guy's full of it?
No. I think that anything, it'll give you, like, it'll take the conspiracy stuff that I think you're kind of seeing and not sure what to think about it. Like, you always say the what end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving you that answer. And it happens to be one that you already agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as time goes on, you're going to be like, well, that doesn't really make sense. Right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It'd be interesting. I'm not saying I'm not expecting any kind of result from it,
right,
other than just you seeing it and seeing what you think about it.
Right.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay.
But it does happen to kind of go along the lines of thinking that I think that you're in, and I think the guy is who did it was pretty liberal.
Right.
Honestly, I think it's what's going on now, and you have a little bit of a clash going on because you have the more conservative, libertarian-minded people in the movement, and you have the more liberal-minded people, and now they're taking different stances. Like there's this one guy that I know that I met locally. You know, I don't think he knew any of this stuff when I first met him. And I don't think he even knew that I knew any of this stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
But now he's like all about it. He was a Ron Paul supporter and he has his own thing that he thinks it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like,
what is it? What is it that he thinks it's all about?
Mostly the peak oil thing. He thinks a lot of it's money, greed, and peak oil.
Yeah, I've been there. I really strongly, like, kind of maybe early on in the Iraq War when I started kind of souring to my established political beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
I was especially after a long period of no weapons of mass destruction. That's what happened to be the point when I went, oh, wow, what am I thinking here? So at that point, I really thought it was oil.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply about the oil.
Yeah.
I think the oil has a lot to do with that in particular, but it's not just for the sake of oil.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot that comes with the hope, there's a lot that would come with stability in that area, and if we had control completely over that area, there's a lot of benefit that would come to us. But
interesting. Yeah, I have to put out a rebuttal to that video. I have to, because there's just, you can't quote people who are promoting the New World Order while saying that all the means to accomplish a New World Order are something else. You know what I'm saying? When it's the same damn people. You can't do that. It just doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And I just the reason why I want to talk to the guy is because he's questionable to me at this point. Because I think he's a smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he obviously is well-read. But the problem is he believes in this stuff. So the thing that I'm trying to understand, and I know he conveniently left it out of his video, the connection between the people he was, the religious and views he was promoting, while at the other hand taking the people who are actually carrying that idea forward politically and trying to make it seem like there's a total separation between them when it's easy to find out that there's not.
Mm-hmm.
He should have known that there's a connection there. And my question to him is, why are you trying to hide that? Are you hiding that? Did you really not notice? Like, no, there's no way he could have not noticed that.
Right.
I'm willing to give him, if he's willing to say it, I'm willing to accept that possibility. But I think that you would have to be pretty dense to miss it.
Right.
So he either knows and purposely left it out. And if he purposely left it out, what's his motivation then?
Yeah.
Is he a deceiver? Is he like using? Is he trying to manipulate people? Is he like on the, you know, a part of that agenda?
Mm-hmm.
And is he trying to? Because I always said this: like the conspiracy movement people are the most ripe for their ideology,
mm-hmm.
because nobody in the world sees the world like they do, other than people in the conspiracy world.
Yeah,
because you know, just like the government leaders look at the people like they're lemmings and sheep. You know, that they're, you know, just cattle. And so does the actual conspiracy theorist, because, you know, they feel that way about people.
Yeah, totally. I mean,
and
it's sheeple, right?
Yeah, sheeple. And you see that mentality, and it's like, oh, they go, wow, these guys, you know, plus the people who are in the conspiracy movement tend to be a lot more intelligent and awake to what's going on. They just, there's something different. And that's what's really funny about it is, because it's getting to be so political at this point that the people in the conspiracy movement have seemed to take on, like, even they don't have this left-right politics. Well, there's politics now going on within the movement.
They kind of look like left-right, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah.
But just more extreme versions of left.
Exactly.
Right. Very extreme.
Very extreme. And the funny thing about it is that it seems to me that I'm trying to figure out where I'm going with this in a way that makes sense, because I have a lot of thoughts going through my head. It seems to me that the people in the conspiracy movement are falling into a trap. Let that be said. I think there's a trap there. That they're taking the bait, and that they're being infiltrated and with ideologies. And I think that they're smart, and they're very critical, and they're deep thinkers. And what happens is they're getting into an intellectual battle without even knowing it.
Mm-hmm.
People are presenting these ideologies. Like, you know, the thing about the conspiracy movement that it frustrates me is that a lot of the people that I talk to, they'll talk about Zbigniew Brzezinski, for example, and I'll say, did you read his book? Well, I've read it. Did you read the whole thing, beginning to end? No. I've never read the whole thing, beginning to end. Well, how did you read it? Oh, I was reading quotes. Or I heard quotes. Or, you know, they act like they know about him, but then they didn't read his book. So if you didn't read his book, then you don't know what position he's pushing forward. You can read one quote that just totally outrageous, but if you don't know what built up to that quote, then you don't really get it in context.
Yeah, totally.
And because of that, if you don't get through the book, what happens when you get through the book? You're either going to come out saying, I agree with this stuff, or I disagree, or a little bit of both. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to have defined points of conflict where you're like, that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make sense, and you're going to have an argument against that. And those arguments are not being developed because the fuckers are not reading the books. You know what I'm saying? They're not developing they're not developing what they need to in order to put the battle to compete in the intellectual contest.
Yeah.
That is politics and all this.
Yeah,
stuff.
I would think part of that is kind of the biggest boon mm-hmm. to the movement being the ability to socially network online is probably also destroying it, because it allows complete and total isolation from anything else. You don't have to build those. If you're mostly hanging out in, you know, message boards that have people like that, and, you know, everything you listen to is that, and it's so available
right.
now, you don't have to build those other arguments. Whereas before,
right.
you know, maybe you might be the only person that you've ever met who has the feelings and beliefs that you have. You're constantly on the defensive.
Mm-hmm.
You're forced to actually understand what it is and why. And have more than just, oh, here's some random quote that's like a talking point. Basically a conspiracy theory talking point.
Right.
You know? Like the name Zbigniew Brzezinski is a conspiracy theory talking point.
Right.
Like, I've seen YouTube videos where I can't understand a word the guy's saying, but you can hear the words Big New Brzezinski, and that carries enough weight that it's supposed to mean something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's another thing, too, is because most of the people who are the so-called heads of this movement, I'm not going to name names, but everybody knows who they are, treat it like it's a money power issue. And because of that, it seems like people are willing to believe anything that's against the money power.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If it's against the money, if they can convince you that these people believe this and they want this, people are willing to go the opposite. And the funny thing is that there's all these different people pushing that idea, and then there's people going, thinking they're rebelling from the system and actually going right along with the agenda. They don't even know it, dude. Mm-hmm. They don't even know it. That's what that whole zeitgeist thing. I was listening to this guy call in to Matt Kazee's show the other day. I think it was a couple days ago or yesterday or something. I don't remember what day it was. I'm kind of lost right now. Busy. But, yeah, he called into his show, and it was like verbatim zeitgeist addendum.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, my God, people, is that what it takes? A fucking movie comes out and you're all just follow it? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, where is the, you know what I'm saying? And then there's all these, like, you know, and I give everybody, you know, I believe, I listen to what everybody has to say, and I know that there's some people who are motivated by religion, like Alex Jones. He's kind of right-winger, and so he did a whole thing on zeitgeist, and I thought it was pretty good. He had some good points, even though, you know, the motivation was, you know, probably not as pure. It wasn't just purely seeking truth. Part of it, maybe it was. I don't know, but people would see it as being a right-wing agenda that he's pushing, and that's why he was against it, or whatever. And, you know, but yeah, that thing definitely challenged some of his positions, because he has videos out with the same information and his little spill on what it is. It's, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, it just trips me out, you know? A movie comes out and everybody just goes, that's what it is.
Well, it's like,
and whatever's popular at the time, it's almost becoming a culture, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, it's kind of, it reminds me of being a kid on a playground where, like, you had your couple of friends in your group, and one of you maybe came up with the insult that was going to really hurt someone from another group, and so you all said it. And it's like, it's an expanded version of that. You've got people who basically develop whatever the tone and language is going to be for your entire, you know, group.
Right.
And you just spew it. And it's absolutely in no way any different than what you see on every major media outlet. And listen to on every major radio show. Exactly the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same mentality. You're just part of a different culture. Just because you happen to be holding 9/11 truth doesn't mean that you're not like Fox News.
Yeah.
You're the Fox News of 9/11 truth.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yep, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? What's different? What's different? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
The reality is that if you're not reading and studying this stuff, then you're following. That's the bottom line. And that's why I don't listen to Alex Jones or any of these other guys. I do listen to Jack Blood a little bit because he cracks me up. He's a cool guy. But, you know, I don't listen to a lot of people because I don't want to hear their opinions. I don't want them in any way affecting my opinion. I want my research to affect my opinion. And, you know, it's just the way I have to do it.
Yeah.
I know that I'm one of those people that will easily be influenced, and I don't want to be influenced. That's why I don't have a freaking television. You know, I have TV, but I don't have, you know, I don't have cable.
Yeah.
I'm in a place where I don't get TV over the air.
Right, yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't want that influence. I don't hang out on chat boards anymore. I used to kind of hang out on this one because I went in there and there was a bunch of Freemasons and I wanted to get them in a bunch of debates. But now the Freemasons are pretty much gone. And the only ones that are there are the ones that are kind of like, you know, they're just, I don't know. They just don't really ever make sense about anything. But, you know, there's a few chat boards I hung around for a while. But, you know, I got tired of the same nonsense and the arguing and this and the that. And what is the New World Order? I mean, how many times can you ask that question?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And everybody would just give their emotional opinion about it. No one would ever come out with facts or information. And then there were some people who would drop lines and lines and lines of facts but have no conclusion whatsoever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It just gets to be pretty frustrating for me.
Yeah.
So I just try to avoid all that nonsense because I'm not trying to be part of the culture. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you're not going to catch me at too many, like, conspiracy events, per se.
Truth rallies.
Yeah. I mean, if there's actual, like, action taking place, then I'll be involved in it. If everybody was going to march in front of the Federal Reserves in their different areas, all in the same date, and, you know, it was a big event, and actually I thought it was going to make a difference, you know what I'm saying, and people were, like, really jumping on board with that, I would be there in a heartbeat. I would be out there in front with my freaking, you know, fist in the air, dude, you know, ready to do some stuff. But, you know, like, the We the People Festival happened, and Jack Blood was supposed to speak there.
Yeah.
That festival I wanted to go to, I didn't end up going. Because I asked them if I could do a live broadcast. I thought it would be a cool way to promote Revere, you know, hand out flyers about Revere Radio to all the people there and get an L.A. presence going to people who know what's up. And, you know, and so I asked them. They basically declined to let me do it. I mean, they ignored me for two and a half months. And then they finally just said no, like a week before the event. And then I was still planning on going, and I'm glad I didn't because, you know, we ended up having to take care of stuff for work and moving and all that. So, but Jack Blood was supposed to speak there, Cynthia McKinney and a few other people, I forget who, and they or Cindy Sheehan, and they the cops told them that they were not allowed to have them speak. And so they were censored. And, you know, this thing called Project Sweatshop, whatever it is, I don't even understand what the whole point of that is. They just throw events, I guess. And they make money, obviously, because they're getting paid pretty good money. There's tickets were $40 to get in. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know, what's the project? You know? Are they sending that money to sweatshop for people who, like, take down sweatshops or something? I don't get it. They don't have any disclaimer or whatever. It just seems like a way to capitalize on the movement, so to speak. But, you know... So, it's the We the People Festival, and they're being censored, and what do? They put their tail between their legs, and they go ahead and they censor. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? How disgraceful is that?
What was the
It's called We the People Festival, and they get their freedom of speech is being stifled, and they let it happen.
But isn't that that's so symptomatic of everything, because We the People, dot, dot, dot. There's so much more to that. But that's all anyone knows is the superficial line.
Right.
And that's exactly what that is.
Right.
That's just people who know the superficial line. But I want to know what was the official line on why these people weren't allowed to speak? Was there any reason given other than that they can't?
The only understanding that I got was from Jack Blood, who was one of the people who were censored. And basically I think what he was told was something to the effect that that the mayor asked to speak there, who was a major Obama supporter, and they declined to let the mayor of Los Angeles speak there. And
Villaraigosa.
And then all of a sudden, the cops came in and said that they saw the event as a potential hazard, and they didn't want the speakers to speak because they thought it might cause, you know, an uprising of some sort. Which Jack Blood was probably the only person that would do something. Cynthia McKinney, I mean, she's like, she's probably hardcore. She's pretty hardcore, but she says her mind, but she's a you know, congresswoman too, so. And, or was. And Cindy Sheehan, she's running for governor, right? Of California?
Actually, I have no idea. I'm so
off. I know she was running for something. Yeah. She's running for something in California.
Yeah.
Or Nancy Pelosi's seat.
I used to live in L.A. area, and that is a very L.A. way to take care of stuff. That sounds like something that would happen in L.A. And it sounds like about the way it would happen, because they've got some pretty inept local politicians in L.A. who would totally do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just idiots.
Yeah. I hate L.A.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that place is just... If most people probably listening, they haven't been to L.A., but if you ever go, just watch your parking, because they like to hand out tickets there. Man, they make millions giving out tickets. I literally went to go visit a friend. They lived in, you know, there was, I mean, you're talking about blocks and blocks and blocks of apartments.
Yeah. Okay?
Blocks and blocks and blocks of apartments. And everybody in the apartment had one parking spot in the complex.
Not everybody, every unit.
No matter how many
people live in the unit.
Right. And they had some pretty big units, like three-bedroom houses. You have families going there. And
yeah.
So, yeah, most average family has two cars, right? So everybody else had their car out on the street. But there is no way you're going to park that many cars out on the street. It was like Tetris.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to park three blocks away from where I was staying. And I mean, those are not small blocks, okay? These were long. That's like a quarter of a mile or to half a mile away. I walk, you know, all the way down, go and stay, and I'm serious. It's metered parking.
It probably takes as long to get back to the spot.
So we had to, like, stay gone. Because if I didn't stay gone, I would have to pay a lot of money throughout the course of the day. And not only that, there were some places where and that's some of the places that are always available are the ones where from point A to point B, you know, you're only allowed to stay there for an hour or two or something like that. It's 2 hours. They come and chalk your tire.
Totally. And they'll get you, man. Five minutes over and you got your
tire. Yeah, these people are efficient. Yeah. They got it down.
When I went to school out there, I think more than one, but definitely one occasion, actually watched the person who wrote the ticket walk away from my car as I was approaching it. I was like minutes, minutes over the limit.
And it's funny because I stayed there for 3 days, and every freaking morning everybody would get up, and it would start at 8 a.m. Everybody would get up, and you see all these people walking out to their cars. They would drive and shuffle their cars around, mm-hmm. and some people would get without. I mean, it was really funny watching them all kind of race around, parking their car, mm-hmm. and they'd get out and go walk back in because they can move their car and park in a different spot, but they cannot stay in the same spot.
Yeah.
So all these people would come out, shuffle their cars around, and that person would be going on. There'd be tickets on at least five cars within view. You know, and these people just make money doing that.
Yeah, a lot of people don't pay those things.
L.A. sucks, man. I never paid mine.
There's some good deals.
I had to not pay that at a principal. I was like, that's just ridiculous.
I have to say there are some okay things about L.A. Some interesting things have come out of L.A., but I understand.
I
never lived there.
I would never
want to live in the city.
No, for sure. Never. But, L.A., I mean, I like visiting every now and again for small doses here and there.
Right.
I can handle it. I like San Francisco better, but, that's what happened with the whole We the People Festival disgrace. Anyways, Rob's going to come on here and give us a call at 7:30 our time.
Yeah, whatever time that happens to be for you.
It's 9:30 for some, 10:30 for people on the East Coast. So, if you're East Coast time, it's 10:30. And West Coast time, 7:30.
And if you're listening on podcast, then who knows?
It's never going to happen. No.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Let me go ahead and play some music, and we'll be back here in just a second.
To those who scare peace-loving people with phantoms of lost liberty, my message is this. Revere Radio Network Tampa, the worldwide home of free speech.
Shame. numbers game.
That was The Numbers Game by Thievery's Corporation's new album. Check it out. It's good. I want to give you guys a little heads up. If you're, I'm not promoting it, but I'm saying that if you were to do this, this is what you could expect. How you like that? Huh?
That's good.
If you were to go to Google and you type in the name of an album that you like, just some random album, I found that if you add in the search whatever it is, whatever artist it is or whatever, after you put in the artist's name, if you enter in the search blogspot.com, what happens is everybody who has that album posted on their blog, it will come up, Blogspot. There'll be a whole bunch of them. Just look at the addresses and you'll see all the blog spots, right? And there'll be a lot of them because people do a lot of blogging about music.
Mm-hmm.
But I did notice that there is a movement, if you will, of people who have realized a great way to pirate music and not get caught. And that is to set up a blog account, blog about it, and then upload it to those free downloading websites like RapidShare. I mean, that's not free. You can pay, but if you some of them you can only download so many a day. You have to watch like little pop-ups pop up for about a minute before it lets you download and all this other stuff. But it's typically free.
Yeah,
people use it for free, and they like use RapidShare or whatever, and they'll upload an entire album, if you will, of whatever artist they like, to RapidShare, and it's only available for a couple days
because then it gets terms of use, they take it down.
Yeah, as soon as they realize that it's not something they can use, they get rid of it. But in order for their sites like that to exist, there is that little thing that can happen. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's a download frenzy for about 24 hours.
Yeah, nice.
So if you watch these sites, if you were to go in there and type it in, you can find pretty much any album you want. And I have found pretty much any album I was looking for.
It's like the Napster days.
Even ones that I couldn't find on CD anymore.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
They would be available on there.
Yeah, so. And it's a lot easier than torrents. I hate torrenting.
And it's a lot faster.
I hate torrents. Yeah, and it would be a lot faster.
Why you hate torrents?
It's just, anytime I'm ever looking for something that's torrent, there's like one person who has it, and then it takes forever to get it, and it's just a pain. To me, it's a pain. I mean, I don't hate the...
It's not as convenient as LimeWire.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. It's not as convenient as it could be. I mean, I just want to steal free stuff. Easier,
Steal, yeah. Well, at least you're honest.
Yeah.
Anyways, so just a little hint there. If you were to do that, you could find this particular album online.
Thievery Corporation, the album called, Radio Retaliation? Is that what it is?
I think that's what it's called, I don't have the actual album here.
Where's it at?
Yeah. That's a song, but... Oh, there it is. Yeah, it is called Radio Retaliation. You're right.
Yeah.
Radio Retaliation. And if you were interested in knowing what blog I actually got it from, nocna-huduba.blogspot.com. Let me say that again. nocna-huduba.blogspot.com.
There you go.
There you go.
Although chances are,
I'm not saying you should do it.
No,
I'm saying that if you were to go to that website, for example, you would find this particular album.
Yes.
So, anyways, we're gonna have Rob calling in. Hey, Rob, if you get this. If you hear me talking, go ahead and call in whenever you're ready. If anybody else wants to call in, once Rob's on the phone, though, we won't be taking any calls. But if you want to call in, 1-877-REVERE-0 or 1-877-738-3730, feel free to call in. So we made it official when we were on the break that I am going to send him a link on the Zeitgeist movie.
I'm
going to
watch it.
And we're going to talk about it next time.
Like I said, I got nothing but free time for the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week, unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I'll have some stuff to do, but not a lot.
Wow. That's good for you. I wish I had that job.
Yeah, it can suck. Every job I've ever had has been like this. I've never had a job that kept me busy. I don't know if it's me or the kinds of jobs I get. I mean, I get paid fine. I get paid well. I have good benefits. I don't understand it. It's been my experience. Every job I've ever had is like 1 hour of work to 8 hours of not working.
You're so lucky.
Yeah.
I've had the opposite experience.
But you're a go-getter. I'm a quiet background guy.
I'm a go-getter.
Yeah, you're a real go-getter, Carl.
Damn.
No, but you're just more like You have goals.
Yeah, I do have goals.
I don't have goals. I just want a job that pays enough that I can live and just be quiet sitting there.
You know, but I think I'm a go-getter by necessity, because every time I try to get a job like that, it never happens.
Oh, yeah.
I always end up getting the job. The jobs that I always end up getting are the ones where I bust my butt.
Oh, yeah.
Or I, you know what I'm saying? Or I don't make any money.
I wouldn't mind having a job where I had to work hard.
Yeah.
I just haven't ever been able to find one.
Yeah. Man. So, yeah, we're going to talk about the Zeitgeist movie next week. I'm going to put out a rebuttal video here really soon. And, you know, just so you know, I actually drove up to the house 30 minutes before the show was supposed to start, about 45 minutes before the show was supposed to start, with a trailer full of stuff from my last house. And I still have a couple loads to go. So, yeah, I'm still moving. And I keep saying, yeah, I think it's going to get better. We're going to get a lot more topic. We're going to get more guests and do all this fun stuff. And I'm going to be all this great planning for the show and make it a lot more interesting. But it's because, you know, I said that before I found out that, you know, I'm moving. And
it's taken a long time.
It's just taken 2 weeks for me to move.
That sucks.
Work just keeps getting in the way.
But that's what sucks about moving close to home, is you think you can do it just piece by piece.
Yeah.
Instead of just renting a truck and getting it all done in one day.
True.
I've had that experience.
And not only that, like, because we have a business. We thought it would be better to move piece by piece, but I think it would actually have been better if we just picked a day off and just did it.
Totally.
And moved. But, you know, it's a learning lesson for us. But yeah, we're almost officially moved in. We still have another day's worth of work, and then we'll be done. And that means we have to go through and unpack. That'll take about a week.
Yeah.
And, or more.
And ironically, though, there is a studio set up. It didn't work when we flipped everything on. It didn't work right.
Right.
So whatever about that.
Yeah, whatever.
That's just computers.
I don't even know what happened, but we got it working.
Yeah, actually, didn't make any change. It just started working.
Yeah. We literally walked into the studio, like, 10 minutes before we're supposed to go in
here? Yeah.
We weren't even sitting here until 10 minutes before we were going to go in here. So that would not have happened had it not
no
been
way.
For...
I used to arrive an hour early, and Carl was already still just sitting there setting stuff up.
Yeah. And it would take the whole time. We'd be, like, rushing around for an hour trying to get everything set up and get the kids off. And now my kids are downstairs listening, you know, watching a movie, and I'm just chilling.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I love it. I'm really happy to have the studio, and it's going to get a lot better. We're going to do some fun stuff and make some waves, hopefully, in this whole conspiracy realm, especially with this guy here.
Yeah.
Saying his pro New World Order agenda.
Yeah,
here.
My pro-Obama stances.
Oh, Jesus. We got to do something about this.
I'm open for whatever, man.
I mean, how can you vote for Obama, dude? It's not like I'm dissing you if you do.
No, I totally understand.
I just don't understand. Like, you're not going to get anything different. He's not going to end the war. Uh-huh. If he does, it's going to be like... I mean, I can understand from a war perspective, mm-hmm. or from... I understand, like, the feeling that people have towards Republicans. And if you were to buy into the line that the Republicans and Democrats are actually different parties,
right.
I could see how Obama would be better. It'd be the lesser of two evils. And it's far lesser, it would seem like, McCain's whole stay there for 100 years bullshit.
Right.
But knowing what you know about the connections between the parties, Zbigniew Brzezinski and Obama's supporter and this and that, I mean, what do you expect to get out of this guy?
Well, it's a good question. I've been highly disillusioned by the right over, you know, the last 10 years of my life, maybe,
right.
8 years, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I definitely bought into certain philosophies that I thought were typical right philosophies, right-wing meaning, right-leaning, that if only they got in power, you know, then they would implement them. And then I've watched them absolutely not do any of that, and in fact do the exact opposite. That's what I've seen happen. And maybe that's going to happen to me this time, too, and maybe it's going to take me that much time to learn. And, you know, the Who song, Don't Get Fooled Again, or Won't Get Fooled Again, or whatever. Maybe I'll get to that point. But there's a part of me that, for whatever reason, you probably think I'm naive. Not you, Carl, necessarily, but people listening probably think I'm quite naive. That I honestly feel like that there is some difference that can be made.
Huh.
Yeah. So...
So it is a lesser of two evils.
No, not lesser of two evils to me. I used to feel lesser of two evils. I actually now I would say neutral, neutral to sloping up towards the good, possibly, is where I'm feeling about it.
Oh, you think both of them are good then?
No.
Not good. You think both of them are all right?
McCain is not good.
Okay,
I really don't like McCain.
Okay,
But Obama,
so he'd be the evil,
not bad.
And then Obama would be like the neutral with a very small possible
margin.
Very possibly he's sloping up, possibly, but neutral.
Now, would you think that it would be productive or desirable for you to actually get engaged in, like, say, something like a campaign for, like, a third-party person? Or would that not even be an option for you?
I would do it.
Really?
Yeah.
If you found somebody you thought was, like, really good?
Yeah. I probably would. I'm not a libertarian, so that wasn't an option for me. And I'm not, you know, I don't know all the third party candidates out there. I didn't do a lot of research into it because a part of me is like, well, a part of me does say, yeah, it feels like I'd be throwing away my vote.
Yeah.
So,
Cynthia McKinney's running.
Who?
Cynthia McKinney.
Oh, for
president.
Oh, yeah. Well,
isn't she?
I have no idea.
Yeah, she'd be the first woman and black president.
There you go. That's what you got to do.
And she is a ball buster for the freaking government. And she, seriously, she has stood before some very powerful men and, like, straight up nearly accused them. Just brought up. I mean, she's just look into her. I got mad respect for Cynthia McKinney. Even though she's totally liberal.
Yeah.
You know? But she's not so liberal that she's not on the agenda. And she is just, I think she's awesome, personally. Yeah, I think she would be a great president. And see, let me just say this for record. I'm not against socialism. I'm not against communism, per se. Yeah, I guess I am kind of against communism to an extent. I'm against big government. I don't care what government form it takes. If it's small government, it's going to have accountability on a local level. If it's big government, it doesn't matter what kind of government you have, it's going to suck. Period. Big government sucks. And I think that the best way to keep it small was the republic, but the people basically, you know, surrendered their rights. I mean, they basically screwed it up. The people screwed it up because they, you know, they should have known that it wasn't going to stick around for, you know, by not paying attention, it was just going to be all right.
Yeah,
the way it works.
Well, it's interesting because I don't disagree with you, and I can't say I agree with you at the same time, but when it comes to the size of government and all that kind of stuff, I've never actually experienced in any way what a small government would really be like. All you ever have is just sort of like this ideal that sort of feels utopian. And I don't know what it would really be like. Like, I can imagine. But I don't think that's how it would really turn out. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But I don't feel like necessarily a lot of things would be solved if government was smaller.
Yeah.
Although I could be wrong.
I look at government as a necessary evil. Mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what, it's not a good thing. But it's necessary. I mean, you can't, until people are perfect, and they never will be, you have to have some governing laws, things you can't do, and punishment, a form of punishment to go with it.
Right.
I think that it's oftentimes used for other reasons that are not so good, like racism, you know, things like that. But I think the reality is the accountability is what sucks because I can't do much about it. I mean, you have to take outrageous amounts of people now to take down this beast.
Yeah.
To change it. I mean, even when your votes aren't being counted and, you know, there's voter fraud going on and there's corruption, they're taking rights that they don't have, and they have a military to prevent you from doing anything about it, you want to go exercise your, you know, you want to protest, they put you in a free speech zone. You know what I'm saying? Now, it literally takes, like, a large amount of people with arms in order to stop it. And if it was a small government, this would not happen.
Mm-hmm.
People would feel like they are empowered by that. You know, if they could do it on a local level. That's why I believe more in states' rights, because, you know, anytime you have a national government with a government this big and this many people in the country, it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And I think it's pretty much, it's, you know, we need small government. And if you want it to be more socialized and have health care and all that, more power to you. I don't have a problem with that. I don't mind my money going to some extent. I don't want it to be forced out of my hand, but I honestly offer it up if I really believed it would make a difference.
Right.
But big government sucks up the money. It hardly goes to the people who need it. And on top of that, they, you know, how much of our money for social benefits have ended up being used for black projects? You know what I'm saying? Hey, it's Rob. Cool. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Bubba.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So, I'm asked Rob to call in because we want to talk a little bit about the upcoming relaunch, which I'm really excited about.
And, I'm excited. And then I watched you had like a little YouTube film on your website. And
yeah.
I don't know why I didn't see that before, but I actually saw it tonight and I watched it and I'm like, wow, this is great. So I'm glad to see that you've actually busted out with a camera and has done, and has actually done a little bit of experimentation. And when you see exactly how it's all going to come together, it's going to blow you away.
Awesome.
Nobody's actually seen it yet, and you know, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but when it when we do the relaunch, it's going to be relaunch beta.
Oh, yeah. It usually is going to be because you're doing some pretty advanced stuff. I mean, I've done some perusal over the internet on other radio stations and things like that that are going on, and you know, and it sounds like what you have going on is going to be amazing. It's going to be far more advanced than what's already out there.
Dude, the guys that put this together for me, HX and the constitutionaldesigns.com, I believe that's the URL. I mean, they're doing a fantastic job. I mean, and I would recommend Constitutional Designs to any freedom-loving, you know, person out there that wants to have a website and has a message that they have to get out. But it's very exciting, and to have you say, hey, Rob, I want you to come on the show and talk about relaunch a little bit, it got me even more excited.
Awesome.
And
awesome.
I was glad, I'm honored to come on the show and talk about it, because I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, definitely. So let me look at, if you don't mind, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit about what we could expect. Is that possible, or is it a big secret, or what's going on?
No.
Okay.
What's the password?
So, what do you think? You said that there's going to be video implementation. What can we expect with that? Is there going to be video blogging going on and stuff like that? Is that what you're talking about? Or?
Well, if you've ever listened to the Rob Revere Show, I actually, for the past 3 months, being the guinea pig for it all, have done my show both on the radio and video-wise simultaneously at the exact same time.
Oh, wow.
And obviously doing it all at once, it can be a bit overwhelming and what have you, so that's not necessarily recommended for everyone to do radio and video at the same time. Once this thing is actually in progress and we're out of beta and people have a nice feel for it and see that it's something that is going to be a very useful tool in our form of activism, and they start spreading the word, it's going to be a great thing. When that happens, I plan on splitting off and doing two shows.
Oh, really?
One of them, a video show, and the second one, an audio show on the radio. So it'll give me the opportunity to expand and not necessarily have to juggle 100 things at one time. When you're doing, you know, one show, whether it be video or radio, is hard enough alone doing just the one. Mm-hmm. But to do both of them at the same time, like I said, can be a little bit overwhelming.
Right.
Therefore, I'm going to step into the doing a video show and an audio show. What's great about the video show is you don't necessarily have to be on camera. You can actually take videos and clips and put them together and play them. It's a video, you know. I mean, you can literally sit at your computer there and pull YouTube clips into your library and create a storyboard, which will, in fact, then become a video show for how long you create on that storyboard. That's just an amazing function as well, which is going to have a big role in this.
Yeah, I definitely want to do that because, like, I deal in a lot. I think most of my subject matter that I like to deal in is symbolism. It's really hard to talk about symbolism when you don't have actual visual pictures of them. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right. No, absolutely.
Yeah.
It will be a tremendous tool for you when you speak about symbolism and you're able to show the viewers what's happening on your desktop or a video or a picture or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think now I'll go ahead and I'll break the news on the air. Coming with the relaunch, there's going to be PG version of Revere Radio Network. It will still be total free speech, just minus those 7 deadly words that George Carlin so fondly reminded us about.
Right.
And this particular stream of Revere Radio Network, for those that choose to participate, will be broadcast live on 107.1 FM in Oklahoma City with with a 75,000 listenership base and ability, which is a very wonderful and vast improvement to just being on the internet like we have for the last 5 years.
Wow.
So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's awesome. That's definitely going to get you interested in participating in.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
So does Oklahoma City.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming along with the relaunch comes a bunch of new shows and a bunch of new hosts because we are a media outlet like no other we're becoming. And with that in mind, that encourages people and we're going to make them easier. You're going to see it may be easy for you to take phone calls right now, but starting probably next week, it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for you, and we'll go into that in private off of the air.
Oh, okay.
But it's just amazing, you know, what's happening and the opportunity that's opening up for current Revere Radio Network hosts and Revere Radio Network affiliates, Revere Radio Network donators. This is what it's done. This is where it all goes, and this is what's happening. We're going to be on FM radio. And like I said, bringing new hosts on, even Radio Free Oklahoma City will be, who we usually simulcast from a different network, has decided that they would like to call Revere Radio Network their home. And I opened them with open arms. I said, yes, absolutely. And starting this Saturday evening, you can check the schedule at Revere. They will be live on Revere Radio Network exclusively, which, I mean, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have more people, and it's going to it's a beautiful thing what's happening. I mean, it's just amazing. I never would have thought that my little shoutcast station would turn into what it turn into what it has.
Oh, awesome!
You know, I mean, when I started, you don't weren't necessarily around Revere Radio at that time, but what it was me playing an Alex Jones 24/7 is what it was. So one day a friend encouraged me, hey, you realize you got a button there that says mic on, and if you click it, you can talk and everybody can hear you? And that's how it started. I kid you not. And to see it grow into what it has is an amazing thing, and it's a blessing from God in my eyes.
Awesome. That's great, man. It sounds really good, and I'm definitely interested in the PG aspect because I've been cussing, but I'm trying not to, bro.
No. You know what I'm saying? If you need a bleep sound, I did download one, okay? coming with the relaunch will be a bunch of Revere Radio Network goodies, and the relaunch is, you know, we're going to get off of the donation model. And the donations are what paid for the relaunch to happen. But now we're going to ask that people become members of Revere Radio Network, where you receive a press pass. You receive a Revere Radio Network t-shirt to wear to your activist events that you may attend. You receive a newsletter, text messages of breaking news. You get special behind the scenes, R-rated material that you don't get, you're not going to get on the PG stream, and so much more. I mean, for like one small little yearly fee and to support Revere Radio Network, I mean, we're throwing you bumper stickers, all kinds of brand new content. But I mean, in the meantime, to get this off the road and to get this going, we're going to need some donations. We're already halfway through the month and, you know, we're sitting at zero donations. So if any of you listeners like the idea of what's about to happen and one day when you visit Revere Radio Network within the next 3 weeks and it looks totally different than what it has over the last 3 years that we've had our current website design, I mean, you're gonna poop a brick.
Nice.
So, I mean, that's where those donations will go to. So we definitely need folks to go ahead and donate.
Right.
As we want to order the shirts, and we're ordering them. And the shirts are $322. We're ordering the shirts. They'll be here within the next week or so. And they'll be here in time for relaunch. We're ordering them this week.
Mm-hmm.
And because we finally decided on a design and a company and what have you to do them for us.
Cool.
After, you know, searching. So, I mean, man, it's a great thing. It's going to be beautiful.
Awesome.
And, you know, but we need the listeners' help. I mean, we do this, you know, we do this for free. We have for so long. And we're actually moving up in the game. And we have friends and people that respect us. We're not, when we first started, I mean, you know, nobody out there ever really was free speech, unless you consider Howard, just Howard Stern free speech. But then again, he's still restricted by commercial and by, you know, Clear Channel and what have you. The point being is people took advantage of the situation. There's no FCC here on Revere Radio. There's no FCC here on the Internet. Nobody can stop me from saying what I want to say. There's no corporation that I or advertiser that I have to worry about that may not like what I have to say, so I don't have to worry about losing a sponsor or something.
Right.
And with that type of freedom, some people took that to its extreme. And beyond,
right.
And gave Revere Radio Network a bad name amongst a lot of people. And since then, though, within the last 5 years, I mean, there's been such a maturity. The content, as well as the quality, has grown exponentially. And with this relaunch, I mean, you people, I can't paint a picture in your head good enough. You just got to see it for yourself. And when you see it, you're going to believe it. And you're going to know this is the next step in the evolution of independent, free-thinking, activist media.
Wow.
I mean, that's unbelievable. And I'm glad that you want to be a part of it, Carl. And I can't wait to introduce you to the folks of Oklahoma City and any other micro-broadcasters that will be picking us up from there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great, man. Another question I have for you is it going to launch on the 31st, or can we expect it to kind of show up before the 31st?
Man, well, I'll tell you, because I have already, like, broken the news, but I just don't want no one else on Revere stealing my thunder. So. Okay.
All right, go for it.
No, I'm going to have, it's going to be a very good night, actually, because I'm going to be interviewing a man. His birth name, or his English name, is John Boncour, and he is a someone who is a native to the Western Hemisphere, North America. He currently resides in Canada, and his his Indian name is Dekajawiya, which means splitting the sky. And he's got a really cool website you can go take a look at, which is splittingthesky.net.
Mm-hmm.
And he has an awesome story to tell in regards to the persecution of his people, things that he went through. He was in Attica during the riots, and that happened back, you know, 30 years ago, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got an amazing story to tell. And when I spoke with him yesterday, he said that on my show he was going to drop a bomb, and in regards to 9/11 and new evidence that points to explosives in the building. Now, I don't know what this is yet. I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah.
And he said that he's going to announce that on my show. And I said, because he hasn't even brought it out yet. And I'm like, wow, that's great. I'm so honored that you consider doing that on my show. So that's what you can expect from me on that Friday night at 11 o'clock. Hopefully my kids have the sugar rush gone, but then again, there's so many foreclosed homes and empty houses, they may not do so good this year
right.
as far as trick-or-treating goes.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
No, but I'm going to be taking the kids to go get their candy, and I'm going to have Super Dave and some other friends of Revere Radio Network who are going to come down. We're going to smoke some food in the smoker, have a party, have some drinks, have a good time, be adults, and I'm going to have this great interview, and we're going to have a great night of radio as well as video, and the site will be different. That's for sure.
Forward. From that point forward, huh? Awesome.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to it, bro. Really am. So is there anything else we should know before you get going? Like anything special that you want to say? Other than it's just going to kick ass, huh?
You're into symbolism really big time, okay?
Yeah.
And, I live in the Tampa Bay area, and I like distractions. I don't like being sunk into the New World Order so much because I did that really bad to the point to where it was almost ruining my life. I literally became obsessed and with information and what have you, and a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they need to take a break and take a step back, and that's what I did. And one of the things that I really do enjoy, I do enjoy sports. My wife and I are very competitive against one another. You give us both a Wii controller and we'll tear each other up. But no. Listen. So the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, or the Rays, are now in, they're getting ready to beat Boston. And when they beat Boston here tonight in the next half hour, they're going to be in the World Series.
Uh-huh.
I know, whoop-de-doo, who cares? The fact of the matter is, we're going to go into a little bit of symbolism here at the end of your show here. If I sent you a link, mm-hmm. and the Devil Rays have gone from worst to first, mm-hmm. and they're going to be in the World Series. And, I mean, last year they lost over 100 games. Well, the Devil Rays are only 12 years old, and I keep calling them Devil Rays because that's where I'm from, Tampa, and that's what they were called since day one.
Uh-huh.
Well, this year they changed their name to Rays, and they dropped the word devil, and everybody thought that was a great thing. However, they, yes, are still associated with stingrays, like the manta ray, the devil ray, the stingray, and the many different kind of rays that we have in our water here, mm-hmm. on the Gulf of Mexico and in Tampa Bay. But what they did was they actually added a very Luciferian symbol to their new logo, calling themselves the Rays
of Light.
And I sent you a link where you can take a look at the picture of their logo and see that no longer are they the Devil Rays, but they are the Rays, and they've added the rays of the sun and or a seven-pointed star, however you want to look at this, upside down and everything, Baphomet, no ifs, ands, or buts about it, to their logo. So essentially, the devil is still there, but in symbolism.
Wow,
but
yeah.
In symbolism alone, not the word.
Uh-huh.
You have to look at the picture to be able to see exactly what I'm saying.
And actually offers money as a challenge to anybody who can prove. It's like guys calls it the Zeitgeist Challenge to prove it and whatever.
To prove what?
To prove the religious points of the Zeitgeist movie.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, that is kind
they use sources that are just
yeah.
And to the normal everyday, you go get them sports guy. I'm getting drunk, Joe Sixpack. They don't realize this, you know. And they're go Rays, and that's awesome. And when I think about it, you know, I didn't really mind the name Devil Rays. I'm a Christian, but I didn't mind the name Devil Rays because I felt that it was named after the fish, the Devil Ray, which is basically a giant manta ray that can grow up to like 100 feet in width and literally fly out of the water, jump out of the water. Used to scare ship, people that were on ships.
Uh-huh.
And such, still do to this day. I mean, they're mammoth manta rays, but then they have these little horns, though, that protrude kind of from their head.
Uh-huh.
So that's why they took on the name Devil Rays. However, now that I think about it, they drop the word devil, you add the very Luciferian symbol, I think that from the beginning they meant to be the Devil Rays.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I'm going to have to check that out, bro. That's really interesting.
Hey,
are you still going to support him?
He's on Skype.
Okay. Oh, he sent it on Skype?
Yeah.
I don't see that yet, but we'll see here. Oh, okay, gotcha. All right. So is that going to change your support for them or what?
Say that again?
Yeah, are you going to stop supporting them now?
No, I'm not going to stop supporting them. I mean, excuse me. yeah, I got gas today at the Shell station. When I looked up at their sign, I saw a giant sun. That's what I saw. I didn't necessarily see a shell. I saw beaming rays of the sun.
Right.
Is what I saw. So, yeah, I mean, am I going to stop buying gas at Shell now? Shell, or Circle K is all Shell now. Maybe. Probably not, because what else do I have but some other sun-worshipping gas station like BP? Look at their logo. It's a sun, is
right.
it not?
Yeah, no, it is, totally.
I mean, so no matter where I go, I got to say praise the sun when I pump the gas in my car. So so am I going to stop supporting the Rays because of the they dropped the word devil yet added a satanic symbol? No, not necessarily, because I'm surrounded by it, and I know the truth, and I see it, unlike Joe Sixpack. Yeah. Thank you for having me on your show, guys.
Yeah,
you guys
definitely.
Do a great show.
Yeah.
You got a great website.
Thank you.
That's truthlovefreedom.org.
Yeah.
RevereRadioNetwork.com, RevereRadio.net.
Yeah.
You can click the relaunch button, but most importantly, to help the relaunch launch off the ground without crashing and burning, click the donation button as well, folks.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks
you guys
a lot,
rock.
Thank
All
you.
Right. Take care, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. I'm looking forward to it, man.
It sounds exciting.
I think it's going to be a great, great advancement for the radio station and for all of our shows and everything. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm going to do as much as I can physically to make it help it along.
Yeah.
Wanted just so you know what I'm planning to do I'm looking at that Ray symbol, and it's very, very
now, I want to know, though, what's the symbolism of a seven-pointed star?
Seven-pointed star?
Yeah, why is seven? Because there's 7 points to that. Is there a certain symbolism to 7 points?
The number 7 is significant. That doesn't look like a 7-pointed star, but it does look like light shooting out from different places. It looks like a sun.
Uh-huh.
It's like sunlight rays or something. It could be a star. It depends on how you interpret it.
Right.
It could be a star. But it does definitely look like rays of light.
Oh, yeah.
And what's really interesting is they took the diamond and they added that in there. But, you know, and they kind of put the bases there. And even though it looks like a baseball diamond, it's just funny how the pyramid kind of looking thing always shows up. I'm surprised they didn't put the light right at the tip.
That would have been awesome.
That might have been a little too obvious.
Obscuring an eye.
Yeah. Anyways. You know, it's just, it's very interesting. Devil Rays versus what they have going on here is definitely different. I wonder if it's under new ownership and who that owner is. It'd be interesting to check out. But anyways, yeah, so the things that I'm planning for the relaunch, I'm going to put out a bunch of videos about symbolism, especially in terms of Freemasonry. I'm going to do a breakdown of the dollar bill symbolism. I'm going to start putting together these small, like, one-minute pieces of information. And I'm also going to start trying to, like, mass-produce DVDs. Or I'm thinking about linking up with somebody who already does it. And for every donation you give to Revere, we'll ship you out a DVD on various topics.
Sweet.
You get to be able to pick one of the various topics that we'll have, and I'm gonna start collecting the library. Now that I have my studio, I can do a whole bunch of stuff that I've never been able to do before. Like, I'm literally gonna put a rack in here of my books, and all my and a DVD collection. I'm gonna start a DVD collection from hell, dude. It's gonna be amazing. I'm gonna keep every political DVD I can get my hands on, and make it available for people and material, anything I can do. I got a 4-tier file cabinet here that's really deep, and I'm starting to produce files on basically all the politicians I can think of. I'm going to start figuring out who they are, who they're affiliated with. I'm going to research who they are, all the different institutions and their connections and this and that, and I'm just going to turn this into like a straight up data center.
Sweet.
Yeah, for the station and everything. I got a lot of good plans for the launch. It's going to be a lot of fun. But
cool.
I think it's almost time for us to
Hey, thanks
head
for
out.
That was awesome, Rob. Thanks for calling.
For calling
you dropped a lot of bombs on this at the end of this podcast. That was pretty cool. Breaking yeah. news on the
breaking
Truth,
news.
Love, Freedom.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. And, dude, it's going to be – that's amazing that we're going to be on the air on Radio Free Oklahoma. That's really cool. And so, anyways, it's going to be good stuff. So make sure you keep tuning in. I'm going to try to get this whole moving thing under wraps so I can get back into my topics. I told you 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago that I was going to start doing all shows consecutively on Freemasonry, which I have not done, to go with the many other promises I have made and have not accomplished. But it will happen sooner or later. And I'm tired of telling you I was going to do that because I'm probably going to be lying to you. I'm doing the best I can. So anyways, another song by Thievery Corporation is called Vampires on Our Way Out. Peace and love. Justin,
see you later. Thank you, guys.
And we'll check you next Thursday on the Truth, Love, Freedom radio show. Stay tuned for 33rd Parallel. I think it's coming up next.
They'll gain the war, but lose their soul. They'll gain the war.